This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Nearly 50,000 customers were without power in San Francisco on Sunday following a substation fire that left one-third of the city in the dark and wreaked havoc on one of the busiest shopping days of the year. Brian Swanson, a spokesman for Pacific Gas and Electric Company, said that at the peak of the power outage on Saturday evening, 119,000 business and residential customers had no electricity. The areas of San Francisco hardest hit by the outage were the Civic Center, the Financial District, and the Mission District south of Market Street, the city's main thoroughfare. As Americans are told that the Al-Qaeda is almost certainly planning a major attack on the U.S. during the holiday period, the Democrat opposition has been quick to criticize George W. Bush for allowing the terrorist network to remain a threat. The Bush administration has raised the national terror threat warning to its second highest level, saying it is receiving more intelligence of a possible attack now than at any time since September 11th. Former U.S. Army General Wesley Clark, one of the front-running Democrat presidential hopefuls, says Mr. Bush made the wrong move going after Saddam Hussein instead of al-Qaeda's leader, Osama bin Laden. He did a bait-and-switch on us and substituted Saddam Hussein, and boom, $150 billion, 460 American lives, and no telling how much more of our treasury before this is over. And Osama bin Laden is still out there. Al-Qaeda is still out there, he said. In the midst of a film industry crackdown on digital movie piracy, filmmaker Robert Greenwald is urging rampant unauthorized copying of his documentary, criticizing the Bush administration's reasons for invading Iraq. The 56-minute film, Uncovered, The Whole Truth About the Iraq War, concludes that Bush and his team distorted intelligence data and misled the American public ahead of the March invasion that toppled the regime of Saddam Hussein. Greenwald has bypassed movie theaters and television and instead has organized parlor screenings in thousands of homes across the United States with the help of an internet-based group, MoveOn.org. People attending can buy DVD or VHS copies that they in turn are urged to reproduce and pass along for free to others. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A brave Santa in an open subway car that pulls him and his sleigh through grimy dark tunnels at 50 miles per hour is just one feature of the holiday train, which zips through Chicago's subway and on top of its elevated track, surprising commuters and delighting youngsters. The train, which cost a regular $1.50 fare, alternates trips on six of the city's seven train lines on weekends and some Mondays between Thanksgiving and Christmas. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This holiday, don't just give a gift, give the good life. And if you still haven't found the perfect gift, then come find it at Sears. Right now, get special savings on hundreds of gift ideas. All TVs, DVD players, and camcorders are on sale. And all fine jewelry is 40 to 60% off. Help him build the ultimate workshop with a great selection of craftsman tools on sale. And with all treadmills on sale, start the new year off right. So come into Sears today. It's never too late to give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Find us online at Sears.com. Sale dates 12/21 through 12/24.
Ah, Tommy, we hardly knew ye. Tom Scully we're talking about. George W.'s handpicked honcho of America's Medicare program. Tommy came into this position of public trust only a couple of years ago, and already he's on the move. He spent his short two-year stint pushing for a massive overhaul of Medicare in a way that will add profits to private hospitals, HMOs, and the drug giants. Why are we not surprised? After all, prior to becoming a public servant, Scully had been head honcho for the Federation of American Hospitals, the lobbying front for the very same for-profit hospitals that his Medicare overhaul will benefit. Now, Tom is cashing out. Having been deeply involved in rewriting the Medicare law, he's been openly peddling his insider knowledge to assorted lobbying firms, dangling his government experience to draw a seven-figure salary as a lobbyist working for the private health care giants. As one of the lobbying firms said, Tom's recent experience at the highest levels of government makes him very attractive to our firm. Great. George W. gave us Scully, a former corporate lobbyist, to rewrite Medicare, thus giving Scully an advanced degree in corporate servitude so he can now command an even fatter salary as a corporate lobbyist. There's a Horatio Alger story for you. Worse, Scully had been out trolling for lobbying jobs while he was inside the back rooms negotiating the Medicare rewrite. Yet, he says this represents no conflict of interest, for he went to the agency's ethics officer and got a waiver to the ethics rules that other employees have to follow. Besides, he assures us, nobody has ever accused me of being other than honest. This is Jim Hightower saying, oh, Tommy, then let me be the first. Scully, you are a scuzz, a poster boy of the corrupt revolving door scam between government and corporate power that makes most Americans sick to our stomachs.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer?
Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting on the IE America Radio Network, live all across America, coast to coast, border to border, also streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, and broadcasting live around the planet, radiopower.org. By the way, if you're listening on radiopower.org, please go click their donate button. They are supported by their listeners. Radiopower.org, live365.com, ieamericaradio.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find it all at tomhartman.com, where you'll also find a link to our chat room, the most fascinating discussion on the web. It's day 161 since a... You know, what is Iraq? 171 million square miles, something like that. It's a mind-boggling amount of territory. But the White House is only 55,000 square feet. We can find Saddam in Iraq, but can we find in the White House the senior administration official who committed a federal felony? Well, with John Ashcroft in charge of the investigation, John Ashcroft just recently was charged with a felony with regard to his last campaign shenanigans. And he's not investigating that very well. He's not in, well, of course. I mean, the commander-in-chief said to him that it probably wasn't such a great idea that he be investigating these things. Whoa, there we go. The commander-in-chief told him...
I don't know. If we're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, day 315 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Day 801 in the search for the anthrax killer. Where is that great detective, Mr. Ashcroft? Well, he has just gotten increased police powers. We'll get to this in detail a little bit later, but on the day that Saddam Hussein was captured, with no fanfare and no mention in the press, President Bush signed into law a bill allowing the FBI to get all of your personal financial records without a warrant and without evidence that you have committed a crime. I don't know how many of you noticed this. It certainly was not noticed by our corporate media, which was in an orgy of Saddamism.
But the Fourth Amendment to the United States says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly as in explicitly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. The Fourth Amendment died the day Saddam was captured, and there was hardly a mention of it in the media. Quite remarkable. I assume you saw the reports about Rush Limbaugh. He has said that he does not want the government to be hanging on to his doctor's records, and he does not want them to be made public. And Jim Turr did a little a funny little skit here on BlueCanyonProductions.com about what might happen if this doesn't quite go the way that it normally goes when rich white guys get busted for drugs, but instead goes the way that it normally happens when poor white guys or minorities get busted for drugs.
IB, Excellent Incarcerated Broadcasting, brings you live from Cell Block 9, the biggest mouth in the big house.
Rush Limbaugh!
Yes, I'm in the slammer, thanks very much, but I can still yammer, I haven't lost my touch. It's Friday, time for open line. Be a couple hundred more till I've done my time, get down. I'll just keep talking truth and motherhood to Main Street and now the Aryan Brotherhood. And every time I mention that drugs ain't worth it, they credit me 6 months community service. Ha! Liberals! Don't you just love them? Yeah, I got my crew, in case you imagine. You can mess with me in any fashion. You really think you're going to get a piece? I suggest you have a word with my man Maurice. Come over here, big fella.
Yeah, good old Maurice.
Yeah, the big man's putting us on the map. So for all we care, he can yap, yap, yap. 14 hours a day, you can squeal and shout. Just shut your pie hole when the lights go out.
Here's my firm and unyielding, dude.
Shut up, man!
Now, just to make sure you don't miss my point, I'm not closing down just because I'm in the joint. But I ain't no little Jesus. I'm rushed, so there's no way I'm eating this mealy mush. No, those who do the work of educating and informing need a little extra fuel to start the morning. So if you don't like my grabbing an extra meal, have a talk over here with my man Shaquille. Feel the rhythm. So friends and fans across the fruited plain, fear not, for I shall rise again. Next time with a little more empathy for the dregs and the druggies like you. And me, I suppose. Remarkable.
Yeah. And, well, it's unlikely. You know, when white guys with millions of dollars, you know, it just tends not to happen. So time will tell, of course. Time will tell. A lot to talk about today. The situation in Iraq seems to be getting more and more fluid, more fascinating stuff. What was particularly fascinating to me about the reports that have come out now about the PKU, the Kurdish independence movement that apparently was the group that found Uday and Qusay and kept him in a bottle until the U.S. troops showed up. And now one report in the European press says they found Saddam sometime in advance of his being corralled by us. And another says that they found him months ago, drugged him, essentially, apparently not tortured him, but held him captive. I'll give you the whole story in a minute, but it's just quite remarkable, number one, that this stuff is coming out, and so much of it actually has quite a bit of internal logic. And now Ahmed Chalabi, our hand-picked, you know, the bank robber guy, the guy who's under indictment in Jordan for robbing banks, he can't leave Iraq because if the Jordanians get him, he goes to prison. But he's our guy. He's, you know, well-connected to the Bush administration. Sort of like, which Bush brother was it that robbed the Silverado Bank? Robbing is, I guess, the wrong word. Supervised its implosion and government bailout to his own benefit, shall we say. I think it was Neil. And here we have another bank robber in the Bush family, Ahmed Chalabi. And he seems to be doing very well over there, you know, heading up the Iraqi Leadership Council. And he said over the weekend that it wasn't quite what the Bush administration has been saying. And there's a big fallout between George Bush and Tony Blair around this. So I want to give you all the details on this. I find it absolutely fascinating, and it raises the question again that Howard Dean raised, which is Bush's war on Iraq making America safer? And are any incremental successes in that, such as capturing Saddam Hussein, making America safer? Or is it progressively making America less safe? And it's a legitimate discussion, a legitimate question. And I think that there's some, particularly when you look at what Al-Qaeda is doing, because we really have two wars on two fronts going on here, or we'll use the word for war for lack of a better one. There is our conflict with Al-Qaeda and its affiliated groups. The people who, presumably, there's never been an investigation, so we don't know for sure, but I think we can say with some reasonable certainty, the people who flew the airplanes into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and so on. You have this, and then we also have the war on Iraq. What started out as, we have to defend America against imminent attack. There is a mushroom cloud looming on the horizon. He has unmanned aerial vehicles. He can deliver all these, you know, he can do all this massive destruction of America. And then, well, we've got to get rid of a bad guy. And then, well, we've got to take control of his oil. And then, well, we've got to sell off all of the businesses in Iraq to the crony buddies of the Bush administration. No other countries need apply. This has created a substantial problem for Tony Blair, by the way, because even though British companies theoretically can apply, it has caused Blair to become a pariah in the Europe that he's a part of, and he's toasted about it. He's really upset. But before we get to that, we have our conservative alert for the day. I actually have two of them for you, two of our conservative alerts. Yes, the first is from conservativealerts.com, and this is, I'll just read this to you in their language, and just let it stand. Issue. Everyone knows that the most liberally based time of the day comes during the evening news. Peter Jennings, Tom Brokaw, and the king daddy of biased news himself, Dan Rather, spew forth their half-truths and liberal-leaning innuendos day after day, joined by their brethren at cable news networks like CNN and MSNBC. Yeah. When the Fox News Channel was launched, the average American breathed a sigh of relief. Finally, fair and balanced news was being beamed into our living rooms 24/7. It's just one channel, but it quickly became the ratings leader on cable. Well, apparently having one channel where we report, you decide, was one channel too many for the radical left wannabe censors at MoveOn.org. They've now set up an online Fox Watch website to, quote, monitor Fox News daily and hold it accountable for specific instances of manipulation or distortion of truth and partisan bias, end quote. Give us a break, says conservativealerts.com. The reason Fox News has become so popular is because they aren't as biased as the other network news. Everyone knows that. Well, everyone except the loony liberals at MoveOn.org. So, conservative alert number one. The conservatives are very upset about Fox Watch. Foxwatch.org, I believe the website is. It's certainly MoveOn.org will get you there. Our second conservative alert of the day. The Bush administration is supporting faith-based parks. Yes, friends, in a series of recent decisions, the National Park Service has approved the display of religious symbols and Bible verses, as well as the sale of creationist books about the origins of natural wonders in national parks. The peer executive director, Jeff Ruch, says, the Bush administration appears to be sponsoring a program of faith-based parks. This fall, the Park Service approved a creationist textbook, Grand Canyon, A Different View, for sale in park bookstores and museums. The book claims that the Grand Canyon is only a few thousand years old, since the world only came into being 6,000 years ago. And park rangers, well, I'll tell you about the park rangers. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Allison, and I met my fiancé Daniel at eHarmony.com.
My name is Rob, and I met my wife on eHarmony.com.
My name is Brenda, and I met my fiancé Tom on eHarmony.com.
There's a reason why couples who meet on eHarmony.com are falling in love and getting married. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Successful relationships always begin with broad-based compatibility. That's why at eHarmony.com we match you based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It helps you to figure out you, then it helps you to find that person that you are most compatible with.
You're learning intimate things about the person right from the very beginning.
There's a depth to eHarmony that the other sites don't have.
Log on to eHarmony.com and see for yourself why more eHarmony.com matches result in marriage than any online dating service. Do it right now and get your $40 personality profile free.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Looking out the window of this Hollywood hotel, you'd never know that it was Christmas Eve. The billboards and the neon took the place of silver bells. And the temperature was 84 degrees. I can hear the traffic on the crowded strip below as the palm trees poke their heads above the scene. But there's not a single reindeer, and it hardly ever snows. Santa drives a Rolls Royce limousine.
Yeah, right. Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. I was wondering where that bit of music was going. Yeah, and, well, the National Park Service. Just to wrap up our conservative alert for the day here, the National Park Service. Park rangers no longer can tell people that creationism is lacking any scientific basis. And, in fact, there was a publication for Park Service rangers that explained the science of the Grand Canyon. And it has been blocked by publication by Park Service leadership because it explains that the Grand Canyon is millions of years old. And of course, according to the Bush administration, it is not. It's only 6,000 years old, as is the rest of the Earth, because the world was created 5,600 years ago in a creationist frenzy. Very strange. Tony Blair and George Bush... Their love-in has collapsed over the rebuilding of Iraq. This from yesterday's Daily Mirror, the Sunday Daily Mirror in the United Kingdom, one of the major Sunday newspapers in Britain. And it's fascinating insight here. I mean, this is told, of course, from the viewpoint of Blair and the British. But President Bush was incensed that, first of all, it says that Bush is upset. Was incensed that Mr. Blair stole Washington's thunder by being the first Western leader to confirm that the former dictator had been arrested by U.S. troops. Downing Street rushed out Mr. Blair's announcement before he had spoken, before Blair had spoken to the American leader early last Sunday when Mr. Bush, 6 hours behind London, was still in bed. It's actually 5 hours behind London, but anyway. Whitehall insiders confirmed that Mr. Blair's decision was partly out of anger. You get this? Blair goes on the air 5-6 hours ahead of George Bush, or while Bush is still sound asleep, to announce that we've caught Saddam. And Bush is furious about this. I mean, Bush didn't make his announcement until hours later. He had to get up. He had to get dressed. He had to have somebody write the speech. He had to rehearse it for a couple of hours. And then, you know, he read it with that deer in headlamps look that he's so good at when he's reading speeches. And reading teleprompters. And Downing Street rushed out Mr. Blair's announcement before Blair had spoken to Bush early last Sunday. Whitehall insiders confirmed that Mr. Blair's decision was partly out of anger over a U.S. veto on his proposed visit to British troops in Iraq during the Christmas holiday. Isn't this interesting? Tony Blair wanted to visit British troops for Christmas in Iraq, and George Bush told him he couldn't do it. Well, wait a minute, you say. How is it that George Bush would have power over what Tony Blair does? Well, here it goes. Presidential advisors in Washington wanted Mr. Bush to be the only leader to make a Christmas visit to troops in Baghdad and urged Downing Street to postpone any visit. That wasn't quite enough, though. So the U.S. refused to cooperate on security arrangements for a Christmas visit by Mr. Blair, who was going to spend the festive season with his family in the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh, which is where a lot of the U.K. soldiers go for R&R. Mr. Blair and Mr. Bush have had at least three phone conversations during the past 7 days, which Whitehall officials describe as, quote, increasingly terse, end quote. Mr. Blair has complained that the move into Iraq... Well, let me get to that after the break. This is fascinating stuff. And it gets back to the question of, are we safer now as a result of the invasion of Iraq? Are we safer? This is Tom Hartman. You're in the real free speech zone. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is Shar Jones, Operations Department for IE America Radio Network. Please be safe this holiday season and have a happy new year.
Michigan study finds race to be the main factor in determining who lives near hazardous waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Why are some communities burdened with landfills, hazardous waste incinerators, and sewage treatment plants, while others ship their garbage out? Some say the issue is money. Poor communities end up with society's waste. Bunyan Bryant disagrees. Bryant, a social scientist at the University of Michigan, says the main factor is race.
Although income does play a part in most of these studies, when you combine race and income, race is a greater explanatory variable.
In a study done throughout Michigan, Bryant measured the percentage of African-American residents in different zip codes. He compared these findings to the number of waste facilities and environmental citations in each community.
We found out that income contributed very little to the equation, but to the results, and that when you look at both income and race, it was like race overshadowed income. Race was doing most of the work.
Critics argue that these studies don't measure the benefits of waste facilities in an area, mainly jobs, but Bryant says the negative health impacts outweigh the economic benefits.
The question is, new jobs at whose expense? Say, for instance, I get a job, okay, and I'm making good wages, but 10 years down the road, maybe I might succumb to asthma or cancer or something like that.
Bryant says these health impacts are a form of subsidy to industry that workers and communities should not have to bear. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
G.W. Washburn.
I heard a sweet voice say,
G.W. Washburn.
This is your lucky day.
Welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Mr. Blair has complained that George Bush's move to exclude European countries like France and Germany, who didn't approve of his unilaterally invading Iraq without the consent of the United Nations and without having been attacked in the first place, in violation of international law, and some would say in violation of certainly 227 years of American tradition, if not American law as well. Mr. Blair has complained that this move severely weakened Britain's strength in the European Union and contributed to the failure of last week's crucial EU summit. In recent phone conversations with Mr. Bush, Mr. Blair has also expressed worries about heavy-handed U.S. tactics against Iraqi civilians. Times are getting tough there in Iraq. Excuse me. So, the day, yeah, here is the day Saddam was captured. House Resolution 2417 was signed into law in this attack on American civil liberties. John Ashcroft's power was extended to the collection of information on every possible financial record of an individual, from banks to travel agents to casinos to car dealers. The person does not even have to be officially under investigation. And how could Congress let this happen, you may ask? Are they so busy? This is from Global Net News. Are they so busy watching Bush's right hand that they didn't bother to notice what the left one is robbing America of its soul? Mark Udall of Colorado said in response to this bill, "This provision in the conference report involves the privacy rights of Americans, rights that I believe strongly we must protect, even as we work to combat terrorism, because I'm concerned that this conference report does not strike the right balance. I'm voting against it." He lost. Similarly, Betty McCollum of Minnesota, "The Republican leadership inserted a controversial provision," she said, "into the fiscal year 04 Intelligence Authorization Report that will expand the already far-reaching USA Patriot Act, threatening to further erode our cherished civil liberties. This provision gives the FBI power to demand financial and other records without a judge's approval. This provision was included with little or no public debate, including no consideration by the House Judiciary Committee. It came as a surprise to most members of this body." And, you know, increasingly these huge bills are being presented that nobody has a chance to read before they go through. Ron Paul of Texas was really bent out of shape. He said this bill was something that should outrage every single American citizen. "I am referring to the stealth edition of language, drastically expanding FBI powers to secretly and without court order snoop into the business and financial transactions of American citizens." He goes on to say the Judiciary Committee was frozen out of the process. "It appears we are witnessing a stealth enactment of the enormously unpopular Patriot II legislation that was first leaked several months ago. This is outrageous and unacceptable," Ron Paul says. "An incredibly dangerous expansion of federal police powers." And many would agree with him. I mean, this is serious stuff. This is House Resolution 4217, signed into law by George Bush, as the news organizations were all entirely focusing their attention on Saddam's capture. It had been sitting there for a few days. He knew that signing it would create a big hubbub. So he did it when nobody was looking. A fine tradition for this administration. Now, here's the getting to the nub of the question here. Is Bush's war in Iraq making America safer? By the way, our quote for the day from John Adams in 1776, he wrote a book called Thoughts on Government. It's actually a three book set. I have a copy of it here that was published in the 19th century. And he says, and I quote from John Adams, second president of the United States, "Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest of any one man, family, or class of men. Therefore, the people alone have an incontestable, unalienable, and indefeasible right to institute government, and to reform, alter, or totally change government when their protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness require it." End quote. John Adams, second president of the United States, written before the American Revolution, or just as it was about to start, early 1776. Now, the Dow Jones Newswire reports on a study that was done by Newsweek. This just last week. "A majority of Americans believe the capture of former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein has not made them safer or more secure, and are concerned about a potential quagmire in Iraq." A majority of Americans agree with Howard Dean. I mean, you wouldn't know it to watch the Sunday news programs. You wouldn't know it to hear the news commentators. You wouldn't know it to hear the right wingers on every single program going, "Oh my God, I love him." Hysterical. The U.S. Weekly magazine said its survey shows that 51% of Americans are skeptical about their safety even after Saddam's capture. while 41 said his capture has made them safer and more secure. Now, among those who apparently agree with Howard Dean that America is not safer today just because we caught Saddam is John Ashcroft and Tom Ridge. Ashcroft, of course, supervising the gathering of intelligence and information in some arenas. Tom Ridge, the majority of it. Ridge just cranked up the terror alert. Security is being increased at airports, borders, and ports as the nation stands at Code Orange. Traditionally, this administration has only gone to Code Orange on those weekends when protests against Bush administration policies were planned. You will recall the last three big anti-war protest weekends. We just somehow coincidentally went to Code Orange so that the civil right to assemble was deleted from the Bill of Rights, and protesters could be herded into zones and broken into groups, and it was just a mess. Well, according to Tom Ridge, Osama bin Laden is at it again and might even be thinking about using airplanes. What? You mean Osama didn't say, gee, they caught Saddam, I guess I'd better just go away. Well, I mean, isn't that what Sean Hannity would have you think? Isn't that what Fox would have you think? I mean, we got to Saddam. I guess America's a lot safer now. As if Saddam ever planned to attack America. In fact, what's fascinating now is the stuff that came out this weekend about Saddam's relationship with Donald Rumsfeld. I don't know if you heard that thing, the rather extensive report that was on NPR on Saturday. I have some of the details of that here. We'll see if we have time to get to them. But here's the conspiracy stuff. By the way, on Friday I made a comment about I've been in the Middle East a lot. It seems like everybody there is a conspiracy nut. Everybody's into conspiracy theories. And somebody sent me an email saying, you know, is this some kind of racist crack? And no, I believe that probably all human beings have some streak of racism in them. I'm not naive enough to think that none of us are racist, myself included, although I don't think of myself as that. But really, it was an observation on culture and not just Middle Eastern culture. My experience has been, as I travel around the world, which I've done for years. For 25 years, I've done international relief work for an organization based in West Germany called Solomon Kinder in Jugendhilfswerk Solom. And I've found myself in a lot of places where people are severely oppressed. And it's been my observation that oppressed people tend to live in a world of conspiracy theory. And the reason why, of course, is because they're actually being oppressed. There actually are conspiracies against them. And you could say there are conspiracies against all of us all the time, and I agree. Yeah, I mean, to look at the latest conspiracy that was uncovered was the one in Wall Street to rip us off in our mutual funds and things, our investments. But it is particularly endemic in my experience in those parts of the world where you've got dictators running the country, and there are forces out there that are actually working against them. So anyhow, I apologize if I offended any of you. It was not intended that way. So here now, the conspiracy theory that I was sharing with you last Friday. Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York, the founder of the Bloomberg News Service, his news service now reported yesterday, and I quote, Saddam Hussein was captured by U.S. troops only after being held prisoner by Kurdish forces who had drugged and abandoned him. Bloomberg News Service, the famous business service, getting this story from the agency France Presse. citing a Sunday Express newspaper report, the Kurdish Patriotic Front, Bloomberg goes on to say, which fought alongside U.S. forces during the Iraq War, held Hussein until it negotiated for more political advantage in the Middle East, AFP said. And the paper was quoted in an unidentified Iraqi intelligence officer. Now, this I thought was fascinating because, I had mentioned Saddam was in a hole that he couldn't get out of. Somebody would have had to let him out, which makes it look more like he was a captive than he was, a refugee. And he looked like he was a wreck, and he was disheveled and incoherent. And a lot of people commented on that. And so this, all over Europe, major newspapers are picking this up. And it's going to be real interesting to see if any of the American press picks this up. This here, for example, the Sunday Herald in Scotland, which when I'm in Scotland I read. It is one of the two major papers in Scotland. Talks about, it starts out with Paul Bremer saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, we got him." And, goes on about that and Task Force 20 and Grey Fox, the super secret team. And then they say, "Enter one Khusrat Rasul Ali, otherwise known as the Lion of Kurdistan, a leader of the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, the PUK. Rasul Ali was once tortured by Saddam's henchmen, but today is chief of a special forces unit dedicated to hunting down former Ba'athist regime leaders." And they point out that this guy's got quite a track record. It was this guy's group. It was they who last August, working alone, arrested Iraqi Vice President Taha Yassin Ramadan in Mosul, northern Iraq. The PUK is believed to have played a crucial role in pinpointing and storming the villa that culminated in the deaths of Saddam's sons, Uday and Qusay. In that situation, PUK informers went running to their leader when they figured out where Uday and Qusay were, Jalil Talabani's nearest military headquarters, to bring him news on the exact location of the villa where both Uday and Qusay had taken shelter. Armed with that information, Talabani made a beeline for U.S. administration offices in Baghdad, where Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz was based for a week's stay in Iraq at the time. The Kurdish leader and U.S. military chiefs confirmed and decided that PUK intelligence would go ahead and secretly surround the Zadian villa, and install sensors and eavesdropping devices. The Kurdish agents were instructed to prepare the site for U.S. special forces to storm the building on July 22nd. Which, of course, we did. And the $30 million bounty, there's no record of it ever having been paid to anybody, but if it was, in all probability, it went to Talabani's PUK guys. So we've got these guys who nailed the vice president of Iraq, who nailed Uday and Qusay. And the day before Saddam's capture, Abdul Murad, a member of the PUK's political bureau, says he was tipped off by the PUK general Thamir al-Sultan that Saddam would be arrested within the next 72 hours. The U.S. media report that the tip-off came from an Iraqi man who was arrested during a raid in Tikrit. And General Ricardo Sanchez says, "It was great analytical work, but," says the Sunday Herald, "the widely held view that Kurdish intelligence was the key to the operation was supported in a statement released last Sunday by the Iraqi Governing Council. Ahmed Chalabi, leader of the Iraqi National Congress, said that Rasul Ali and his PUK Special Forces Unit had provided vital information and more that led to the capture of Saddam." And they go on to say, "Jalal Talabani chose to leak the news and details of Rasul Ali's role in the deployment to the Iranian media." Now, the Iranian media knew that we had Saddam and that the PUK, that the Kurds, these are the folks who live in the extreme north of Iraq and also in the extreme east of Turkey, that they had actually caught Saddam. And this was being reported by early Sunday, way before Saddam's capture was being reported by the mainstream Western press. The Kurdish media ran the following newswire, and I quote, "Saddam Hussein, the former president of the Iraqi regime, was captured by the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, a special intelligence unit led by Khusrat Rasul Ali, a high-ranking member of the PUK. They found Saddam Hussein in the city of Tikrit, his birthplace. Khusrat's team was accompanied by a group of U.S. soldiers." And since then, we have rather changed the story, it would appear. And has it made us safer? Well, we're Code Orange now. You decide. This is Tom Hartman. I'll be right back.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquigels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquigels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquigels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquigels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquigels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
I am a popcorn enthusiast. Popcorn, the most provocative of all the snack foods. The silky smooth texture, the rich buttery ecstasy.
Ow! The unpop kernels!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say,
ah.
Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GL report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, ah, Syria, because they have weapons of mass destruction.
Ah, this is so much fun. Spin me around again.
Iran!
Oh, I love this game! Uncle Dick, can I play this game somebody?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction.
Price tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays to each and every one of you. It's a wonderful time of year. It's just absolutely beautiful here in Vermont as well. It's a good day to be alive. Every day it seems is a good day. Every day you're breathing is another good day, right? Anyhow, just to wrap up this story, this is fascinating. This is a story from the Sunday Herald of Scotland. By David Pratt, titled "Revealed Who Really Found Saddam," and quoting the head of the PUK, the Kurdish intelligence service, this special forces group of the Kurds that has been doing the investigative work on behalf of the U.S. Army, and found Uday and Kuse, and apparently also found Saddam. They say, and in fact, originally said that they had captured Saddam, and in fact, the original report said that Saddam had been, quote, captured in a raid by U.S. forces backed by Kurdish fighters, which had changed the emphasis. This was the Western agencies. But Rasul Ali himself was on the air saying, quote, PUK forces sealed the area off before the arrival of U.S. forces, end quote. And by Sunday, the story went global. The Kurdish role was reduced to a supportive one. It's mutually, why do they do it? Well, Ali says, it's mutually worth it to us and the Americans. We need assurances for the future. See, the Kurds want their own country, ultimately, and they want to stop the Turks from oppressing and murdering them. And he goes on to say, we need assurances for the future, and they need the kudos of getting Saddam. And then the article goes on to say it would be easy, after all, to dismiss the questions surrounding the PUK role as conspiracy theory. After all, almost every major event that affects the Arab world prompts tales that are quickly woven into intricate shapes and patterns. But they say it's probably a lot more than this because, you know, all the evidence points to it. They point in particular to an interesting website, Debka.com, that supports this. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if the American press picks this thing up. You know, who actually picked up Saddam? Time goes on. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, where despair is not an option. Get active. We'll be back.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Nearly 50,000 customers were without power in San Francisco on Sunday following a substation fire that left one-third of the city in the dark and wreaked havoc on one of the busiest shopping days of the year. Brian Swanson, a spokesman for Pacific Gas and Electric Company, said that at the peak of the power outage on Saturday evening, 119,000 business and residential customers had no electricity. The areas of San Francisco hardest hit by the outage were the Civic Center, the Financial District, and the Mission District south of Market Street, the city's main thoroughfare. Saddam Hussein was captured by U.S. troops only after he'd been taken prisoner by Kurdish forces, drugged and abandoned, ready for American soldiers to recover him, a British Sunday newspaper said. The newspaper said the full story of events leading up to the ousted Iraqi president's capture on September 13th near his hometown of Tikrit in northern Iraq exposes the version peddled by American spin doctors as incomplete. A former Iraqi intelligence officer told the paper that Saddam was held prisoner by a leader of the Kurdish Patriotic Front, which fought alongside U.S. forces during the Iraq War, until he negotiated a deal. The deal apparently involved the group gaining political advantage in the region. As Americans are told that the al-Qaeda is almost certainly planning a major attack on the U.S. during the holiday period, the Democrat opposition has been quick to criticize George W. Bush for allowing the terrorist network to remain a threat. The Bush administration has raised the national terror threat warning to its second highest level, saying it is receiving more intelligence of a possible attack now than at any time since September 11th. Former U.S. Army General Wesley Clark, one of the front-running Democrat presidential hopefuls, says Mr. Bush made the wrong move going after Saddam Hussein instead of al-Qaeda's leader, Osama bin Laden. He did a bait-and-switch on us and substituted Saddam Hussein, and boom, $150 billion, 460 American lives, and no telling how much more of our treasury before this is over. And Osama bin Laden is still out there. Al-Qaeda is still out there, he said. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Latvian police said a drunk picked up with around twice the blood alcohol level considered deadly had probably set a world record but would wake up with a hangover to match. The unidentified middle-aged man was unconscious but stable after a blood test showed 7.22 parts per million of alcohol, a police spokeswoman said. The hospital's emergency ward head, Martin Six, told reporters there was no record of anybody having survived such a dose. He won't remember a thing when he comes to. Six said. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This holiday, don't just give a gift, give the good life. And if you still haven't found the perfect gift, then come find it at Sears. Right now, get special savings on hundreds of gift ideas. All TVs, DVD players, and camcorders are on sale. And all fine jewelry is 40 to 60% off. Help him build the ultimate workshop with a great selection of craftsman tools on sale. And with all treadmills on sale, start the new year off right. So come into Sears today. It's never too late to give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Find us online at Sears.com. Sale dates 12/21 through 12/24.
Ah, Tommy, we hardly knew ye. Tom Scully we're talking about. George W.'s handpicked honcho of America's Medicare program.
Tommy came into this position of public trust only a couple of years ago, and already he's on the move. He spent his short 2-year stint pushing for a massive overhaul of Medicare in a way that will add profits to private hospitals, HMOs, and the drug giants. Why are we not surprised? After all, prior to becoming a public servant, Scully had been head honcho for the Federation of American Hospitals, the lobbying front for the very same for-profit hospitals that his Medicare overhaul will benefit. Now, Tom is cashing out. Having been deeply involved in rewriting the Medicare law, he's been openly peddling his insider knowledge to assorted lobbying firms, dangling his government experience to draw a 7-figure salary as a lobbyist working for the private health care giants. As one of the lobbying firms said, Tom's recent experience at the highest levels of government makes him very attractive to our firm. Great. George W. gave us Scully, a former corporate lobbyist, to rewrite Medicare, thus giving Scully an advanced degree in corporate servitude so he can now command an even fatter salary as a corporate lobbyist. There's a Horatio Alger story for you. Worse, Scully had been out trolling for lobbying jobs while he was inside the back rooms negotiating the Medicare rewrite. Yet, he says this represents no conflict of interest, for he went to the agency's ethics officer and got a waiver to the ethics rules that other employees have to follow. Besides, he assures us, nobody has ever accused me of being other than honest. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Oh, Tommy, then let me be the first." Scully, you are a scuzz, a poster boy of the corrupt revolving door scam between government and corporate power that makes most Americans sick to our stomachs.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them?
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Bust Bob has gathered 10,000 signatures now. Have you seen this website, bustbob.com? It's a petition drive to the Chicago Sun-Times, the employer of Robert Novak, asking them to fire him if he will not come clean, as he has in the past. Novak has revealed sources in the past when it has suited his interests, to come clean about who it was who leaked the identity of Valerie Plame, the CIA agent who was the wife of Joe Wilson, who was the person who pointed out the lies of the Bush administration with regard to the uranium coming from Africa going to Iraq. And they point out it's a little ironic that we can find Saddam Hussein hiding in a 6x8 spider hole in a country spanning 171,599 square miles. And we can't find a lawbreaker in the White House of 55,000 square feet. And on Crossfire, this was last week, Paul Begala called for Ashcroft's firing for campaign finance violations during his unsuccessful Senate re-election bid, the connection to the leaker on the loose. Begala suggested that perhaps the reason nobody at the White House seems to give a hoot that the nation's top law enforcement official has been found guilty of breaking the law is because Ashcroft has successfully buried the White House leaker story in the bowels of the Justice Department. And on it goes. But the larger issue here, and there is a larger issue here in my mind, and that is the importance of the United States having a coherent foreign policy. And one that is grounded in the idea that we support democracy. We want to work to bring about democracy around the world. We want to support the democracies of the world, and we don't want to encourage the dictatorships of the world. And the problem has been that our policy in this regard for a long, long time, I mean, basically forever. I was yesterday reading a speech that Henry Kissinger gave to the Commonwealth Club in 1976 when he was Secretary of State, in which he said that the United States had achieved essentially parity with the Soviet Union and militarily. And he said, and in terms of, you know, worldwide power and status, and he said, we simply have to accept this. This is going to be the reality, you know, forever. Kissinger didn't realize that dictatorships are essentially unsustainable, that dictatorships eventually implode under their own weight. It may take a few generations. It may take even a few centuries, as it did with many of the European dictatorships. But dictatorships eventually collapse. Democracy, on the other hand, is based ultimately on the way that tribes organize themselves. I mean, the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois Confederacy, was one of the inspirations for the American Constitution. Perhaps one of the most significant ones, if the writings of Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson are to be believed. And the idea that people, you know, some philosopher came up with a good idea one afternoon. Hey, let's have democracy. This is actually the way that human beings are wired. Democracy is wired into our genes. And it's not just humans. Turns out it's all animals. I've shared this with you before. It's worth revisiting. The study that was published a few months ago, or earlier this year in Nature, that was done in England, and they looked at red deer. And they asked the question, how are decisions made? And, you know, the deer are standing around eating a patch of grass, and they have to decide at some point when they're going to go to the water hole or when they're going to go to some other patch of grass. And it seems like it's a spontaneous thing. All of a sudden, they just all move. But in point of fact, when you do the slow motion photography and check it out, what you find is that all these deer are pointing in different directions and they're all kind of munching and grazing. And then there comes a time when there's kind of a consensus being achieved that it's time to break up. We've all seen this in meetings, or, you know, you're over at somebody's house and it's getting late, and finally people start kind of coughing and clearing their throats and moving in ways that are indicative, you know, the body language equivalent of, hey, it's time to go. And the deer started doing that. And they started organizing, and, you know, different deer would point themselves in different directions, reflecting their vote on which way the herd should go. And it had nothing to do with which way the alpha male was pointing, by the way. The alpha male's prerogative seemed to be just pretty much limited to first pick of sexual partners. It has nothing to do with leading the pack. What happened, though, was that when 51% of the deer were pointing in a particular direction, then suddenly the entire herd all pointed in that direction, and boom, off they went. It's like animals have this built-in vote-counting mechanism. And it goes from bees to schools of fish, to flocks of birds, to chimpanzees, to humans. Democracy is wired into our genes. It's something all animals do. And that's why democracy has such enduring power. And it's why, in my opinion, the United States needs to come up with a foreign policy that clearly, and the last time I heard anybody speaking about this was Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter talked about this, but it never got carved in stone. But we need to have a foreign, and Ronald Reagan, of course, immediately repudiated it. You know, Ollie North going over to Iran with a cake, with a knife, you know, there wasn't a cake with a knife in it, with a cake and the missile parts, you know, to pay off the Iranians for holding the hostages long enough for Reagan to win the election, and smuggling drugs into Texas from Colombia, and not specifically Ollie North, although those allegations have been made, but the guys associated with Iran-Contra and smuggling weapons down to Central America. And just the whole thing. I mean, you know, immediately we got in bed with dictators. You know, in some ways, before Jimmy Carter, the last bunch of people to talk about this were the conservatives. And Barry Goldwater used to talk about this. 6 or 8 months ago, I reread his autobiography. It's called With No Apologies, the not Conscience of a Conservative, but With No Apologies. He wrote it toward the end of his life. And he was, you know, saying, hey, you know, we ought to be supporting democracies. I mean, this is not a new and radical idea, and I think we need to return to it. You know, even, you know, whether it was conservatives who thought of it or liberals, you know, whether it was Goldwater or Carter who did the best job of promoting it. Because Goldwater, you know, the conservatives back then were like, you know, well, you know, we need to stop. Actually, they were concerned about the communist dictators. They were not so concerned about the dictators who were friends of ours. You know, the Noriegas of the world. But in any case, we should basically, in my opinion, be saying there are dictators out there and there are democracies. And we're on the side of the democracies. I mean, you've got a nation whose dictator leaders have killed at least 10 million of their own citizens. And if you include the mass famines that have come about as a consequence of their policies back in the 1960s, have killed perhaps as many as 100 million of their own citizens. I mean, this is a genocide worthy of Joseph Stalin and the Soviet Union that followed him, and that's China. This incredible dictatorship in China. And you've got facing them this little island of what used to be called Formosa, now it's called Taiwan, where there's an actual democracy. You know, in the Middle East, one of the rationales that we've used to justify our support of Israel has been that it's the only democracy in the region, although the Palestinians are now moving very quickly in the direction of democracy. They still have this strongman leader in Arafat, but, you know, they're moving in that direction, and they have a parliament. But there's basically, you know, we have said, well, you know, the reason is it's the only democracy in the region. Well, the only democracy in the China, you know, relative to China, you know, Hong Kong is being inhaled, is Taiwan. And you'll recall when the Chinese big shot was over here visiting George Bush, he took him down to the Lincoln bedroom and showed him the Gettysburg Address. The guy was very fond of Lincoln because Lincoln took the states that broke away and used violence to bring them back. And that's what he wants to do. Well, now comes this report. This in yesterday's newspaper, in today's newspaper, in The Age, the Australian newspaper. Bush and Hu talk after Cheney scuttles plan for North Korea. And President George Bush and Chinese President Hu Jintao talked over by the telephone over this weekend. And the Knight Ridder newspaper Chain said a senior official had quoted Mr. Cheney as telling the meeting, "I have been charged." They were trying to work out this thing with North Korea, where we would go back to something like the detente that Bill Clinton had established, where we would not attack them if they would stop building nuclear bombs. And it worked. We had them in a box for, you know, 8 years or thereabouts, longer than that. And it fell apart when Bush started talking about empires of evil and unilaterally invading Iraq. Because they appropriately got nervous and said, hey, you know, we've got to have some self-defense here. Appropriately, at least from their point of view. And so Cheney apparently killed the negotiations. He says, "I have been charged by the president with making sure that none of the tyrannies in the world are negotiated with. We don't negotiate with evil, we defeat it." Well, that sounds good. Of course, the North Koreans freaked out because immediately, you know, as soon as Cheney starts calling, flinging around the word evil, they get a little nervous. And it kind of flies in the face of our having negotiated with Libya. I mean, these negotiations apparently have been going on for several years. We got really, really active about 6 or 8 months ago where we went to Libya. You know, they were about to pay off the families the billions of dollars for downing the Lockerbie flight, which they had bombed because we had attacked, you know, Reagan had killed the adopted daughter of Gaddafi. You know, in that attack on Tripoli, which came about as a result of their having blown up a disco in West Berlin where U.S. soldiers hung out. It was this big tit-for-tat thing. Well, we'll negotiate with the evil dictator Gaddafi, but I guess we get to pick which evils we will negotiate with. But it gets even stranger when it gets to China. And this is an issue that I think is... This is gonna haunt us for a long time if we don't do something right about it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Have behaved badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets. And I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful. But now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I grabbed her breast, I thought I was playful.
Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Today is, I think, the fourth day of Hanukkah. We need to get some Hanukkah music in here too, and I'm not sure if there's music for Kwanzaa. That would be an interesting thing to check out. But happy holidays in any case. So we were talking about China and our decisions that Dick Cheney saying, for example, this last weekend, or he was quoted this last weekend as telling the North Koreans, once they thought they had a deal, that I have been charged by the president with making sure that none of the tyrannies in the world are negotiated with. We don't negotiate with evil, we defeat it. And he's saying this at the same time that he's negotiating with Muammar Gaddafi. And cutting a deal with him to give up his weapons of mass destruction in exchange for an end to the sanctions, the economic sanctions, which have been crippling Libya for some years now. Gaddafi, of course, has been working really aggressively to try and get an end to these sanctions for some time now. His admitting culpability in the Lockerbie situation, or at least paying off. I don't think he's made a public apology and admission, but as close as one can get. And on it goes. But the thing with North Korea, no, we're not going to do that. Meanwhile, the World Food Program said it would probably have to cut off food aid to 3 million North Koreans next month due to a lack of foreign donations. This raises, you know, this is a really tough one. If we feed the North Koreans, we are essentially supporting Kim Jong-il, who is this terrible dictator, who absolutely we should do everything we can to remove him from power or to encourage his own people to remove him from power. And on the other hand, if we don't feed these people, he's going to let them starve. It's a real ethical dilemma. I don't have an easy answer for that one. I'm sorry. But the bigger concern for me, frankly, is that this weekend, the president of China, Hu Jintao, called George Bush late Saturday night, called him up on the telephone, and said that the island of Taiwan's independence, and I quote, cannot be tolerated, end quote. Now, it was in 1949 when China and Taiwan split apart. And in 1979, we officially cut ties with Taiwan because Taiwan kept insisting that they were China. They were the only legitimate government of China because they were a democracy. And the Chinese were under the oppressive thumb of dictators, Mao Zedong at the time. And we didn't agree with that. You know, Richard Nixon had gone over and opened up trade relations with China, and now we are absolutely in bed with these murderous dictators, these murderous thugs who are running China. We are absolutely in bed with them. And now the Taiwanese have this referendum about whether China should stop pointing hundreds of missiles at Taiwan. They're going to put this thing on the ballot. Do you think that China should stop pointing missiles at us? And the president of China calls up George Bush and says, Taiwan independence cannot be tolerated. Definitely cannot be tolerated. What are your thoughts on this? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We will be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is Kim Kasnick, office manager for IE America Radio Network, hoping you and your family have a happy holiday.
A Michigan study finds race to be the main factor in determining who lives near hazardous waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Why are some communities burdened with landfills, hazardous waste incinerators, and sewage treatment plants, while others ship their garbage out? Some say the issue is money. Poor communities end up with society's waste. Bunyan Bryant disagrees. Bryant, a social scientist at the University of Michigan, says the main factor is race.
Although income does play a part in most of these studies, when you combine race and income, race is a greater explanatory variable.
In a study done throughout Michigan, Bryant measured the percentage of African-American residents in different zip codes. He compared these findings to the number of waste facilities and environmental citations in each community.
We found out that income contributed very little to the equation or to the results, and that when you look at both income and race, it was like race overshadowed income. Race was doing most of the work.
Critics argue that these studies don't measure the benefits of waste facilities in an area, mainly jobs, but Bryant says the negative health impacts outweigh the economic benefits.
The question is, new jobs at whose expense? Say, for instance, I get a job, okay, and I'm making good wages, but 10 years down the road, maybe I might succumb to asthma or cancer or something like that.
Bryant says these health impacts are a form of subsidy to industry that workers and communities should not have to bear. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I'll be the answer at the end of the line. I'll be there for you while you take the time.
And welcome back. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass destruction. Mass deception, anyway. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You know, in our chat room, Redefeat Bush 04, one of our chat room members, says, Tom is starting to sound like a neocon. He's talking about regime change. Well, let me clarify. I am not suggesting that we should use military force to overthrow dictatorships. And the reason why is a purely practical one, and that is that typically when military force is used to overthrow a dictatorship, you end up with another dictatorship. Look at all the coups that have gone wrong over the years. Look at, you know, look at what happened when we supported Saddam Hussein in overthrowing the government of Iraq. Look what happened when we supported the Shah of Iran in overthrowing Mossadegh, who had been the elected leader of Iran. Look at what, you know, and on it goes. There have been a few successes defeating the Nazis in World War II and defeating Japan, but they have been, I think, the spectacular exceptions rather than the rule. And also we have to ask the question, you know, do we want our young men and women dying in foreign lands to free other people simply because we think it's the best for them? I mean, you know, I think that there's something to be said for the idea of working for freedom and democracy around the world, but, you know, it's at what cost? But on the other hand, I agree with Mark Palmer, that who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, who said that you can do a lot to foster internal independence movements, and particularly nonviolent ones. Those nonviolent movements that have been successful have been among the most successful in history. Look at Gandhi in India. India is still a thriving democracy as a result of Mahatma Gandhi. Look at the internal revolution in the United States that Martin Luther King brought about. I mean, so to the extent that we can support democracies around the world and encourage democracies and discourage dictatorships, this is one of the reasons why I think that we should not be doing business with China, at least the way we are, and certainly on the terms that we are. They certainly should not have most favored nation status because it's a dictatorship. It's just wrong to be doing this. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you have thoughts or comments on this. 1-800-825-5937. And Billy in Santa Cruz, California is on the line. Hey, Billy, how you doing today?
I'm great. How about you, Tom?
I'm alive and kicking. What's up?
Well, bah humbug.
Yeah, bah humbug to you too. Okay.
I wanted to answer your question about why China's dictators called ours. And also then I want to say something about the Justice Department.
Sure.
So the reason one dictator calls another is exactly that. They recognize in George Bush a kindred spirit.
Yeah.
Someone who understands accomplishing things at the end of a tank or a bayonet.
Well, and in fact, you'll recall that when they were here, the Chinese delegation was here 2 weeks ago, that George Bush came out and said Taiwan should not be having this referendum wherein they're asking their people if they want to let the Chinese government know that they're not happy with having over 100 missiles pointed at them.
Well, what do you know? The dictators were right about our dictator.
Yeah.
He sticks his nose where it doesn't belong.
I'm not willing to call George Bush a dictator yet, Billy, but I'm certainly willing to call him a wannabe dictator.
Well, you know, look. You have a good radio show, and you probably want to stay on the air. And if you did things like that, they'd probably get rid of you. So that's wise of you.
The fact of the matter is that if he was really a dictator, no, Billy, if he was really a dictator, this radio show wouldn't be on the air. I mean, that's the bottom line.
No. American dictators are going to work differently. They're smarter than the rest of these people. They understand that if you pretend to tolerate dissent, it's a cover for when you steal elections and get away with it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree that there is some element of that, but I really don't think that we are that far gone.
Let me give you an example of how I know we're that far gone by talking about the Justice Department.
Okay.
So they just did one of these little amicus briefs on stating that, oh, gee, under God is a patriotic expression, not a religious one. And there it is in a nutshell. If under God is a patriotic expression, well, then... They have a mixed religion, and, I mean, this is the Justice Department. Talk about mixing state and religion.
Yeah, but the Justice Department has taken all sorts of wacky positions over the years. It was the Justice Department that in 1896 in Plessy versus Ferguson argued that, you know, blacks should have no rights in America. It was the Justice Department in in 1872 in Bradwell versus the state of Illinois that argued that women should have no rights independent of their husbands. Just because the Justice Department says something doesn't mean that we are a dictatorship.
Except that what it does mean is the responsibility of every citizen is to not go about looking at presidential decrees, the laws of Congress, and actually obey them. We should challenge them at every step because most of them are made for the wrong reasons, for purposes of money and reelection. And that's our job as Americans. To be a patriot means to challenge authority every step of the way.
Well, certainly illegitimate authority. I agree.
Well, illegitimate authority meaning what? This year it means the President of the United States, the Justice Department, you name it.
You have to draw boundaries, Billy. I mean, there is legitimate authority there. If you run a red light and you get stopped by the police, I think you and I can agree that that's legitimate authority.
That's my point. I don't obey that law because they passed that law. I obey that law because it makes sense for the social welfare of everyone that we stop at red lights. It doesn't make sense for the social welfare of everyone that we continue to put people in jail for smoking marijuana, that we continue to bring religion into the public space. We need to just say, no, I don't trust these people. That needs to be our default position.
I agree. Although then you get into this is political science 101, philosophy 101, debate about, okay, if everybody made their own decisions about what was a just law and what wasn't, what would you have? And you would have a mess.
I'll tell you what you would have. You would have, instead of everyone making a law based on whether or not I can get more money from a special interest or get reelected, I'll trust the typical dumb American people to still morally come up with better laws than these people called representatives who get elected in the most soulless possible way.
Yeah, see, I would say rather than an anarchic system like that, what we need to do is have core principles that we all agree upon.
But the system is already tilted against your core principles. When you have redistricting, when you have gerrymandering, when you have the money, when you have corporations, something you can get, when you call a corporation a person, well...
Hey, Billy, I wrote the book on that. You're preaching to the wrong guy.
What was the name of that book?
Unequal Protection. I know that. And the core values of the United States are defined, and I a lot of these things are being challenged. I'm not ready to give up. I'm ready to continue working with the system, and perhaps we're separating in that area. But I'm just suggesting that
we're one revolution short of having the country we all really wish for that the Constitution promises.
Yeah, well, depending on how you define revolution, I would agree. I think a political revolution is in order, and I think that I think that there's a very real possibility that if Howard Dean wins the presidency, he could be the next FDR.
Howard Dean looks like he's about to win the presidency. George Bush will arrange for some sort of attack on us. He'll allow somebody to get through so we can declare martial law. That's how little I trust these people.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me, but I'm hoping that ain't the case. I'm hoping you're wrong, Billy. Billy, thanks for the call.
Take care, I
appreciate you sharing that with us. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Armand in Florida is on the line. Hey, Armand, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Happy Monday. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, and Merry Christmas to everybody in the network, and Happy Hanukkah and everything else.
There you go. Thank you.
I'd like to ask a few questions, if I may. First, I'm curious. I'm watching the media today, and I'm seeing how Rush Limbaugh and his attorneys are so concerned about his privacy. And wasn't he supposed to be the beacon light to all his listeners that are so devoted to him to, be the balance,
against
the big government
and
everything?
Yeah, I did the little skit on him in the first hour, and that's about all I'm going to say.
Well, here's a question on him, and then if I can go on to something else I may.
Sure.
I didn't hear him mention H.R. 2417 to his listeners. Why didn't he mention that bill and the possibilities that are negative?
Yeah. I don't know, Armand, and I'm not going to second guess his show. His show is not
wonder what his listeners would, why didn't he warn them about this bill and criticize it? if he's
well, because the conservative agenda is fundamentally anti-democratic. That's the bottom line, Armin. The conservative agenda, you go back and you read Russell Kirk in 1953, the conservative mind, or go back and read David Hume, or go back, you know, to Thomas Hobbes, I mean, the foundational thinkers of conservatism, and you get it that they believe that we should have a caste system, a class system, that there are some who are born to rule and there are some who are born to be ruled. And that being at the core of the thing, that everything else just logically flows out of that, you know, from the cheap labor that they advocate to the loss of civil liberties that they advocate, and that you get it, and then all of those things just start making sense. Anyhow, second point.
I don't see how they can sell that, you know, like they're trying.
No, they don't sell it up front. They hide it. They have to hide it. Otherwise,
Well, they keep trying to, you know, sell this image of freedom, and it seems to be that Clinton never even dreamed of taking the powers that this administration has taken. That's just my opinion. So,
no president before now has ever dreamed of taking the powers that this administration has.
Well, there's a story, if I can go on to this other topic,
sure.
If I may, please.
Yeah.
There's a story that I heard, and there's a major media network. And I'm sure you could guess probably which one it is. I won't mention the name. And they're selling a Saddam captured doll set, and it comes with the farmhouse, the dolls in the hole when you get it. And it's my understanding that a family's pretty upset because they ordered theirs for Christmas, and when they got it, they opened up a hole to take the doll out, and the doll that was in there wasn't the Saddam captured doll, but it was George Bush doll with his jumpsuit that he was on the aircraft carrier with, and in the hole there was a banner that said mission accomplished. They want their money back. Have you heard anything about that?
That's a good one, Armin. That's a good one.
Have you heard anything about that?
I have not, but thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate it very much. Oh, my goodness. What a good one. Now, you know, this is interesting. Pascal Zachary on Alternet this weekend wrote an interesting op-ed piece that Taiwan could be Howard Dean's window of opportunity. This could be the thing that the Democrats pick up and run with. He points out that China is selling $100 billion a year to the United States more in goods than we sell to them. So we end up $100 billion a year in debt to them. On the back of its ultra-cheap labor, China is flooding the United States with everything from shoes to computers, devastating America's own manufacturing base. By siding openly with China, George Bush exposes his administration's animus towards working people in America and its hypocrisy in international affairs. And he goes on to point out that China relentlessly seeks to impose a monolithic political and cultural template on every region under its dominion because the forces of disintegration within it are so strong. This is an important point. China is so big, and there are so many different languages spoken, and so many different religions, and so many different viewpoints and different ways of being all around China, that there is this force of disintegration. I mean, the Chinese really get it, that without an absolute iron-fisted dictatorship that squashes the least little bit of people rising up and saying, hey, may I participate, or this, that, without the power of that iron fist, China may well break into the various provinces that made it up before it has at various times over the past few millennia reunified itself. And, you know, there's been the warlords that have reunified it. And you know, I mean, there are Muslim areas, there are Buddhist areas, there are Confucian areas, there are different, I think there's something like 100 different languages that are primary languages in large areas of China. Many of them variations on Chinese, but some of them completely different. I mean, Tibet, for example, which China has annexed. So they know that they've got to, you know, they hang on to this. He goes on to point out the Buddhists of Tibet are decimated. The Muslims of northern China are conveniently labeled terrorists and repressed. Religious dissent. He talks about, you know, the Christians in China are being put down. So is Falun Gong, you know, a I don't know how to describe that, that religion. It's kind of a synthesis of Taekwondo and Tai Chi and meditation and prayer and the philosophy maybe of a little Confucianism and Buddhism and whatnot. And as he points out, China sees diversity as a threat to its very existence. And he goes on to say that Dean recently has said that he would say essentially the same thing George Bush said, which is to warn Taiwan against declaring its independence. And I think that that's a terrible mistake, and so does the fellow writing this op-ed. I think, you know, Dean could use this, or any of the presidential candidates, but again, Dean seems to be pulling ahead. He could use this issue to differentiate himself from George Bush in a very significant, meaningful way. Say, you know, just like, well, here, in the 1940s, Republicans cried, "Who lost China?" blamed the Democrats for Mao's ascendance under Harry Truman. And now Dean and the Democrats could say, "Who lost Taiwan?" and blame the Republicans. I mean, it is a partisan strategy, but it's an interesting one. It'd be very interesting to see how that thing plays out. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
This holiday, don't just give a gift, give the good life. And if you still haven't found the perfect gift, then come find it at Sears. Right now, get special savings on hundreds of gift ideas. All TVs, DVD players, and camcorders are on sale. And all fine jewelry is 40 to 60% off. Help him build the ultimate workshop with a great selection of Craftsman tools on sale. And with all treadmills on sale, start the new year off right. So come into Sears today. It's never too late to give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Find us online at Sears.com. Sale dates 12/21 through 12/24.
Ah, going home for the holidays. An hour to the airport, 3 hours at the gate, two on the runway, and five in the air. Your traveling companion? One achy back. Unless you wear a Thermacare heat wrap. Thermacare gives you powerful pain relief for your back, neck, or shoulder. It's 8 hours of deep down heat, so tight muscles relax, and pain goes away. Get Thermacare in the pain reliever aisle. Because after flying, you gotta start driving.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
The The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Tom Hartman Show.
Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada. He was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling, ting. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling, friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow.
Isn't it amazing to think that there was a time when people actually got out in the sleigh to go from place to place? I mean, can you imagine how different it seems? You know, we think back in time and we think that the world has always been kind of pretty much the same, and we've always thought the same and reacted the same and everything. But the world has changed so much. Our world views have changed so much. You know, if you define a democracy as a nation in which you have more or less universal suffrage, that is, everybody can vote and participate in a democracy, the first democracy didn't emerge until 1920 when the United States passed the 19th or the 20th Amendment to the Constitution. And it's just remarkable to think of what, if you could get, I would just love to get in a time machine and go back 100 years, 200 years, 300 years and just see it, what was it really like? What did people, how did people think? How did they behave? How did they act? John Lucas, our engineer here this hour, who's running the board, pointed out the geekandproud.net/terror/website. I said, well, I should have shared this with you, Billy. It might have made your day. It's the Homeland Security Advisory System based on Sesame Street. Green is Oscar, blue is Cookie Monster, yellow is Bert, orange is Ernie, and red is Elmo. So we have gone from Bert, yellow, up to orange, Ernie. Yes, indeed, folks. So, thank you, John. Yeah, and a nice little music bed there, too. Well done. The Guardian. A fascinating analysis here. Bush is still in a real hole. The Guardian of the UK, the newspaper in England, they're talking about the very real possibility that the American economy might melt down before the elections, that it almost certainly will as a result of this problem. They say Bush has engaged in a campaign of voter bribery in the past 2 years, unrivaled in U.S. history. And they're talking about the tax cuts, the illegal tariffs, what they thought were illegal. I guess they are, as long as we remember the WTO. The deficits. And then they ask, you know, when are the interest rates going to explode? And is this going to catch Bush before the election? Or can he hold off until after the election? It'll be interesting to find out. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
It's exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly real. Disorder from the sirens.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Nearly 50,000 customers were without power in San Francisco on Sunday following a substation fire that left one-third of the city in the dark and wreaked havoc on one of the busiest shopping days of the year. Brian Swanson, a spokesman for Pacific Gas and Electric Company, said that at the peak of the power outage on Saturday evening, 119,000 business and residential customers had no electricity. The areas of San Francisco hardest hit by the outage were the Civic Center, the Financial District, and the Mission District south of Market Street, the city's main thoroughfare. As Americans are told that the Al-Qaeda is almost certainly planning a major attack on the U.S. during the holiday period, the Democrat opposition has been quick to criticize George W. Bush for allowing the terrorist network to remain a threat. The Bush administration has raised the national terror threat warning to its second highest level, saying it is receiving more intelligence of a possible attack now than at any time since September 11th. Former U.S. Army General Wesley Clark, one of the front-running Democrat presidential hopefuls, says Mr. Bush made the wrong move going after Saddam Hussein instead of al-Qaeda's leader, Osama bin Laden. He did a bait-and-switch on us and substituted Saddam Hussein, and boom, $150 billion, 460 American lives, and no telling how much more of our treasury before this is over. And Osama bin Laden is still out there. Al-Qaeda is still out there, he said. In the midst of a film industry crackdown on digital movie piracy, filmmaker Robert Greenwald is urging rampant unauthorized copying of his documentary, criticizing the Bush administration's reasons for invading Iraq. The 56-minute film, Uncovered, The Whole Truth About the Iraq War, concludes that Bush and his team distorted intelligence data and misled the American public ahead of the March invasion that toppled the regime of Saddam Hussein. Greenwald has bypassed movie theaters and television and instead has organized parlor screenings in thousands of homes across the United States with the help of an internet-based group, MoveOn.org. People attending can buy DVD or VHS copies that they in turn are urged to reproduce and pass along for free to others. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A brave Santa in an open subway car that pulls him and his sleigh through grimy dark tunnels at 50 miles per hour is just one feature of the holiday train, which zips through Chicago's subway and on top of its elevated track, surprising commuters and delighting youngsters. The train, which cost a regular $1.50 fare, alternates trips on six of the city's seven train lines on weekends and some Mondays between Thanksgiving and Christmas. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
And tonight's winning jackpot numbers are... Jane, would you do the honors?
17, 6, 39, and...
Oh, cut. You sound awful.
Oh, my nose is runny. Head's all blocked up. I need my Alka-Seltzer Plus.
Only Alka-Seltzer Plus has an effervescent formula that breaks up nasal congestion and relieves your worst cold symptoms fast.
And the numbers are, Jane?
17, 6, 39, and 75.
Alka-Seltzer Plus breaks up your worst cold symptoms fast.
Ah, Tommy, we hardly knew ye. Tom Scully we're talking about. George W.'s handpicked honcho of America's Medicare program. Tommy came into this position of public trust only a couple of years ago, and already he's on the move. He spent his short 2-year stint pushing for a massive overhaul of Medicare in a way that will add profits to private hospitals, HMOs, and the drug giants. Why are we not surprised? After all, prior to becoming a public servant, Scully had been head honcho for the Federation of American Hospitals, the lobbying front for the very same for-profit hospitals that his Medicare overhaul will benefit. Now, Tom is cashing out. Having been deeply involved in rewriting the Medicare law, he's been openly peddling his insider knowledge to assorted lobbying firms, dangling his government experience to draw a 7-figure salary as a lobbyist working for the private health care giants. As one of the lobbying firms said, Tom's recent experience at the highest levels of government makes him very attractive to our firm. Great. George W. gave us Scully, a former corporate lobbyist, to rewrite Medicare, thus giving Scully an advanced degree in corporate servitude so he can now command an even fatter salary as a corporate lobbyist. There's a Horatio Alger story for you. Worse, Scully had been out trolling for lobbying jobs while he was inside the back rooms negotiating the Medicare rewrite. Yet, he says this represents no conflict of interest, for he went to the agency's ethics officer and got a waiver to the ethics rules that other employees have to follow. Besides, he assures us, nobody has ever accused me of being other than honest. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Oh, Tommy, then let me be the first." Scully, you are a scuzz, a poster boy of the corrupt revolving door scam between government and corporate power that makes most Americans sick to our stomachs.
The Mr. Rogers parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Well, the total number, according to the United Press International, the total number of wounded soldiers and medical evacuations from the war in Iraq is now pushing 11,000, according to new Pentagon data. 11,000 of our young men and women, injured, wounded, or dead. 457 are dead. At 11,000 medical evacuations, the actual number is 10,854. According to Pentagon information, of medical evacuations out of Iraq. And the price that we are paying... Oh, and the point that I was making before is that, you know, going in and doing regime change at the barrel of a gun is not the most effective way to go about it. Now, on the other hand, it's also not the most effective way to go about it by going in and shaking hands. Did you see the Washington Post on last Friday? Last Friday's Washington Post, the National Public Radio followed this up with a fascinating story on Saturday. where they interviewed the guy who was the head of the organization that did this lawsuit to bust open this information. It's called the National Security Archive. It's a nonprofit organization. And they point out that Don Rumsfeld went to Baghdad in March of 1984 on behalf of Ronald Reagan. And his specific message to them, he had been there in December of 83, and he went back in March of 1984. And between these two trips, Saddam had killed a bunch of people with chemical weapons. And his job, in theory, was to tell them, hey, you can't do that anymore. We don't want you killing your people with these chemical weapons that we're supplying you. But they now have declassified the memos from George Shultz, who was then Secretary of State, and the instructions that he gave to Don Rumsfeld. And it turns out basically what Rumsfeld was saying to Saddam was, you know, we have to tell the world that we don't like you killing people with these chemical weapons, whether it's in Iran or the Kurds. But don't worry. We're still your friends. We're still going to be here with you. As the Washington Post wrote on Friday, privately, however, the administrations of Reagan and George H.W. Bush sold military goods to Iraq, including poisonous chemicals and deadly biological agents, worked to stop the flow of weapons to Iran, and undertook secret diplomatic initiatives, such as the two Rumsfeld trips to Baghdad, to improve relationships with Saddam Hussein. Shultz, they go on, in his instructions to Rumsfeld, underscored the confusion that the conflicting U.S. signals were creating for Iraq. George Shultz wrote, Iraqi officials have professed to be at a loss to explain our actions as measured against our stated objectives. As with our chemical weapons statement, their temptation is to give up rational analysis and retreat to the line that U.S. policies are basically anti-Arab and hostage to the desires of Israel. And the point that he was making was to say that Rumsfeld should reassure Saddam Hussein, you know, don't worry, everything's fine, we're here with you. Now, we learn this at the same time that we learn that Don Rumsfeld has just told Time Magazine, this in the issue that just came out today, the current edition of Time Magazine, that we may need a bigger army. You'll recall he has retired generals who have told him the same thing. But anyhow, he says, we may need a bigger army. This says Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld to Time Magazine in this Person of the Year double issue. And he says he's commissioning a study to get into it. But, you know, it's a possibility. Now, at the same time, perhaps the larger issue, or a different issue, but related to it, is the one of military recruiters getting really, really aggressive. You know, one of the provisions of the No Child Left Behind law was that if a school district takes federal No Child Left Behind money, and many now are electing not to, by the way, and this is actually becoming even one of the reasons why many of them are electing not to, but if a school district takes federal No Child Left Behind money, then they must, by law, give the Pentagon the names, addresses, and telephone numbers of their students. Now, these are not children who are draft eligible. This isn't, you know, to get people to register for the draft. That's handled by the Social Security Administration, passing that information off to the Pentagon, as I recall. But no, this is about, or it's a voluntary thing. I mean, you're supposed to voluntarily register. Actually, now that I think about it, I'm not sure that the Social Security, in any case, that's a separate thing. But here we have, well, this is a story in the Christian Science Monitor. And this was last week, on the 19th. Last summer, Mark Spencer's 17-year-old son received a phone call from a military recruiter. Mr. Spencer told the recruiter not to call his son again. An hour later, the recruiter called their Mesquite, Texas residence a second time. The next week, he left phone messages. Spencer says, it's a predatory practice to keep calling students even if their parents object. Well, sort of. California's Santa Cruz, California School Board Commissioner, CC Pinheiro says, actually, it's a George W. Bush thing, referring to the No Child Left Behind Act. He says, we've been fighting this for some time. And, of course, it's buried deep in the 670 pages of the No Child Left Behind law that the military has the right to do this. So how, you know, how this is going to play out, whether, you know, what I'm waiting for, and not so much waiting for, actually seeing. I mean, all across the United States, we have now over 200 communities who have passed laws or resolutions opposing the Patriot Act and or its various provisions. You have communities like Santa Cruz who are opposing the provisions of the No Child Left Behind Act that allow military recruiters to, you know, they're not even subject to the laws that govern telemarketers. I mean, if a telemarketer calls you and says, hey, you want to buy some, you know, insurance or pots and pans or whatever, and you say, put me on your do not call list, by law, they can't call you again. But if a military recruiter calls and you say, don't call me again, they can just keep calling. And they do. So, you know, when are we going to start seeing blowback? It seems that we're beginning to see some right now. We're beginning to see the seeds of this, you know, fighting back. And the similar thing, we're coming up on the anniversary here on the due date. Sometime in the next week or two, I don't have the exact date right in front of me, but sometime in the next few days or next few weeks, those people who are the victims of 9/11, the relatives of the victims of 9/11, it's their last chance to sign up to get some money from the government, some compensation from this victims fund. The problem is that along with the money comes a waiver that they have to sign, which says that not only can they not sue the government for failing to stop 9/11, but they can't sue the airlines, they can't sue the World Trade Center builders, the safety engineers, or any other defendants. Now, this law didn't just protect the government. The government stepped in to protect a bunch of industries from we the people, from the citizens. And so if you take the payout, you have been muzzled. Well, Beverly Eckert says that she's not going to do that. And she's going to sue to find out the truth because the Bush administration is refusing to release the truth on this thing of what's going on. In this article that was published in USA Today on December 19th, she says, the Victims Fund was not created in a spirit of compassion. Lawmakers capped the liability of the airlines at the behest of lobbyists who descended on Washington while the 9/11 fire still smoldered. And this liability gap protects not just the airlines, but also World Trade Center builders, safety engineers, and other defendants. The caps on liability have consequences for those who want to sue to shed light on the mistakes of 9/11. It means the playing field is tilted steeply in favor of those who need to be held accountable. And because of these laws, she said, they can afford to deny culpability and play a waiting game. And that she just is not willing to play this waiting game. She said, you know, even, you know, she says, by suing, I forfeited the $1.8 million average award for a death claim I could have collected. But it's not about getting money, she says. And she goes on to say, if we don't get answers to what went wrong, there will be a next time. And instead of 3,000 dead, it'll be 10,000. What will Congress do then? So I say to Congress, says Beverly Eckert, big business and everyone who conspired to divert attention from government and private sector failures, my husband's life was priceless, and I will not let his death be meaningless. My silence cannot be bought. Congratulations to Beverly Eckert for standing up to this. Now, it's an appropriate time, I think, for us to take a good look, to get a good recap of what is up with Al-Qaeda. What are these guys doing? Since it was Al-Qaeda, who attacked us on 9/11, not Saddam Hussein. What is up with Al-Qaeda? The Center for American Progress last week published a really good summary of what's happening with Al-Qaeda. And I wanted to just share some of these with you because it's I think this is so important for us all to know that Al-Qaeda, let me just go through a couple of the points here very quickly, and then we're going to take a break, and we'll come back from the break, and I'll pick up a few phone calls. Al-Qaeda is more difficult to locate and fight than it was 2 years ago. The global terror network has fragmented into smaller Al-Qaeda-sponsored cells that are harder to identify and neutralize. And they go on to point out that the Al-Qaeda has run some very sophisticated operations that have successfully attacked. Now, this is just in the last year. I mean, because they haven't attacked America. You know, we have been feeling fine to just focus our attention on Iraq and Saddam Hussein and say, well, I guess Al-Qaeda has gone away. But they have attacked Indonesia, Iraq, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Chechnya, the Philippines, Yemen. I mean, they have been active. These guys have been really active. And they have joined forces with like-minded Islamic groups in Indonesia, the Philippines, Yemen, and Chechnya, promoting calls for universal jihad. We have, particularly by our attack of Iraq, helped Al-Qaeda turn itself into a much more powerful worldwide movement that increasingly Muslims around the world, particularly in the third world, are thinking represents Islam. A disaster in the making. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the true people's radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current,
we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Wrap your presents to your darling from you. Pretty pencils to write, I love you. Oh, pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue.
And welcome back. Transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number. 1-800-825-5937. Got something you want to get off your chest, questions you want to ask, comments you want to make, arguments you have. I love to hear from people who want to argue with me. Leland in Santa Fe. What's on your mind today, Leland? Hey, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for the coverage about the 911. And there's another woman who's also refused to take the money, and not only has she refused to take the money, but she's actually suing the special master, Ken Feinberg, I believe is her name, as part of her suit against many members of the Bush administration. I've already mentioned it to you on the show. Ellen Mariani's court case goes before the judge on January 14th, and one of the defendants is, in fact, Ken Feinberg, the special master.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 911 fund.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught it. NPR did a really nice piece on that.
You know, I heard about it. I'm going to have to catch it on the web later.
Yeah, I think it must have been Friday night. It was on Evening Edition or All Things Considered or whatever. But yeah, anyway, yeah, it's and in fact, in our chat room, it's interesting. Just a minute ago, in our chat room, one of the folks, SmileMaker909, says her quote about the value of her lost loved one was great. Did you read Mariani's letter to her dead husband? It made me cry. This is very powerful stuff. I mean, we're dealing with really visceral emotions and the incredible feelings that people have about not having closure, not having access to the facts, the stonewalling and hiding that this administration is doing. And you know, clearly trying to cover up things like the August 6th, 2001 memo that caused George Bush to go into hiding and caused Ashcroft to stop flying on commercial airplanes. And then they didn't say a single word to any of the rest of us. And it's got to be a tough one for the people who are the survivors of that.
Oh, yeah. I got a word also, I just wanted to say, from Jeffrey Truman, who's working on the case with Philip Berg, who's the former Deputy Attorney General of Pennsylvania. There are apparently a lot of military ex-CIA and ex-FBI people that are coming forward to testify on behalf of Ellen. So we're looking forward to a very serious case.
Interesting. What do you think is going to be the core of this case? What you know, you seem to be well-educated about or well-informed about it. I'm just peripherally, you know, I've been kind of noticing it, but I haven't really dug into it. What is the core argument?
Well, the core right now is whether or not we can get it into discovery. And under RICO, we have the right to bring an act against any criminal organization that has any activity in any city, in any state in the country, which means that we can bring the case in Philadelphia because the federal government has business in Philadelphia. Also, right. The other
and point... She's alleging that the Bush administration itself, the executive branch of the government... has functioned as an organized as an organized crime organization or a corrupt organization. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's being brought under the RICO statutes, which were designed to prosecute the mafia.
Yeah.
Which also means that the statute of limitations on bringing a case against them is 4 years instead of 2 years, which is the Federal Tort Claims Act stipulates that if you're going to sue the federal government, you have to do it within 2 years of the criminal act.
Yeah. Do you know anything about the judge who's going to be hearing this?
Yes, we do. But the attorney in the case, Philip Berg, has asked me not to talk about the judge because it is the attorney, Philip Berg, may not prejudice the public about the judge publicly. That's just the point of legal ethics.
Well, and it's a good plan. Leland, thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing that with us. I appreciate it today and wish you happy holidays. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the True People's Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Kurt and another caller here on the line. Hang on. We'll pick up your calls on the other side of this break.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Season's greetings. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show, wishing all of you a very happy holiday season and a peaceful new year.
A Michigan study finds race to be the main factor in determining who lives near hazardous waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Why are some communities burdened with landfills, hazardous waste incinerators, and sewage treatment plants, while others ship their garbage out? Some say the issue is money. Poor communities end up with society's waste. Bunyan Bryant disagrees. Bryant, a social scientist at the University of Michigan, says the main factor is race.
Although income does play a part in most of these studies, when you combine race and income, race is a greater explanatory variable.
In a study done throughout Michigan, Bryant measured the percentage of African-American residents in different zip codes. He compared these findings to the number of waste facilities and environmental citations in each community.
We found out that income contributed very little to the equation or to the results, and that when you look at both income and race, it was like race overshadowed income. Race was doing most of the work.
Critics argue that these studies don't measure the benefits of waste facilities in an area, mainly jobs, but Bryant says the negative health impacts outweigh the economic benefits.
The question is, new jobs at whose expense? Say, for instance, I get a job, okay, and I'm making good wages, but 10 years down the road, maybe I might succumb to asthma or cancer or something like that.
Bryant says these health impacts are a form of subsidy to industry that workers and communities should not have to bear. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
We'll be right back.
best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Was in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, when the road was full of mud. I come in from the wilderness, a preacher boy to farm. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. If I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her, on that I give my word. In a world of steel-eyed death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not from right-wing think tanks of the RNC. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number if you have thoughts for the day. 1-800-825-5937. And Kurt in San Jose, California is on the line. Hey, Kurt, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Wait 1 second. You got him? Okay. Thank you, Char. Hey, Kurt. How are you?
Hello there, Mike. Or Tom.
It's not Mike, it's Tom.
Sorry about that. How about Tom?
Mike comes in another 6 or 8 hours.
Yeah, I
know. And a fine job he does.
Not anywhere near, not in the same league as yourself.
Well,
no, I just called to thank you for a job very much appreciated, very well done. I think
thank
it's
you.
Something that's long overdue. We should have had a long time ago. We need a lot more like you. But I very much appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you.
And I make every effort, or quite an effort at least, not to interrupt or miss any of your programs primarily, and also Mary Ann's. But a couple of things I'd like to ask you about is, could you say more about what used to be, I think you said the lobbying and so on, used to be considered influence and bribery or whatever?
Yeah.
And also, when did corporations become an identity or a person or whatever? And there's other questions, but I'll leave it at that for now. Thanks very much for your program.
Sure. Yeah, you're welcome, Kurt. Well, first of all, corporations were specifically and explicitly denied. It wouldn't even be appropriate to say that they were denied the status of persons. What it was that when the founders created this country, they said that, you know, historically we had had a situation where governments held the rights, whether they were kings or theocrats or feudal lords, the three historic tyrannies. They held the rights, and then they kind of, you know, like trickle-down economics. This was trickle-down politics. And then they would just, you know, give the rights or grant privileges, actually, to the serfs, to the humans, as they saw fit. And the idea of the founding of this country was that the sole holder of rights, the only group that would hold rights, would be human beings. And this goes back to John Locke's second treatise on government that he published in 1724. And the whole, you know, just the whole idea. I mean, this all came out of the Renaissance and the Enlightenment. And so, they, you know, they were very clear about that. It was in 1886 when the Southern Pacific Railroad argued against the Santa Clara County, County of Santa Clara in California, that they should have the rights of humans because corporations had historically been called persons, artificial persons at law, and the 14th Amendment has the word person in it. The court did not agree with them. However, the clerk of the court, who was formerly the president of a railroad and a member of the very corrupt Ulysses S. Grant administration, wrote in the commentary on the case, the headnote on the case, that corporations are persons under the 14th Amendment, and so the United States Supreme Court, ever since then, has followed not the ruling of the court, but the writing of the clerk of the court. And it's a very bizarre story. It's the core of my book on equal protection, and you can actually read the chapter about that specific event online. Just go to unequalprotection.com, and it's just, you know, you can read the whole chapter of the book right there. You don't have to buy it. Although I like to think that the rest of the book has some value, but in any case, here's a law. This is a Wisconsin law. This is typical. I mean, every state in the union had laws like this. This one was in Wisconsin. It's typical of laws that were passed back in the early 1800s. This law had been repassed during the populist era in 1905 and wasn't repealed until, as I recall, 1954. but it wasn't used much up until that time. They sort of realized it was on the books and had to get rid of it in the 50s. But by and large, this is how it went. It's called Political Contributions by Corporations. This is section 4479 of the Wisconsin Penal Code. No corporation doing business in this state shall pay or contribute or offer consent or agree to pay or contribute directly or indirectly any money, property, free service of its officers or employees or thing of value to any political party, organization, committee, or individual for any political purpose whatsoever, or for the purpose of influencing legislation, that's what we call lobbying now, or for the purpose of influencing legislation of any kind, or to promote or defeat the candidacy of any person for nomination, appointment, or election to any political office. The penalty was quite specific. But here's the penalty part of the law. Any officer, employee, agent, or attorney, or other representative of any corporation acting for and in behalf of such corporation who shall violate this act shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for a period of not less than 1 or more than 5 years, or by both. If the corporation shall be subject to a penalty, then by forfeiture in double the amount of any fine, and if a domestic corporation, it shall be dissolved. If a foreign or non-resident corporation, its right to do business in the state shall be declared forfeit. That's how the law used to read. That's an actual Wisconsin state law, characteristic of many others. Somebody had called and asked me to talk about weapons of mass destruction in Gaddafi. It's really interesting how this, you know, Muammar Gaddafi has been negotiating with the United States now for several years to try and normalize relationships. Basically, ever since he decided to do the Lockerbie thing. And the Bush administration has picked up these negotiations, which apparently go back to the Clinton administration, and which clearly go back to the Clinton administration, and recently dangled the carrot to him that we would, he has information about al-Qaeda that we want, and we have trade relations that he wants. And for PR purposes, the Bush administration said, and, you know, we want you to make a big show of getting rid of your weapons of mass destruction. The weapons of mass destruction was never really a part of the negotiating, apparently. His plans were moving ahead. You know, we'll see. We'll find out what the deal was. But it certainly seems that the Bush administration is making something of this that goes way beyond what it was. Time will tell, and I'll have more details on that tomorrow. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Chris in Fort Worth, Texas is on the line. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Chris?
Oh, doing okay. Listen, on Sunday I was watching a lot of the media pundit shows that are out, and or the media commentary shows, and they were all beating up Howard Dean for his remark about how Hussein's capture really hasn't made us any safer, et cetera.
Yeah. Let me just ask you a quick question before you continue, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I didn't see all of those shows. I saw a little bit of one of them, and that one, it was Meet the Press, as I recall, and he had on basically two conservatives and a conservative. I mean, you know, it was just, did you see any liberals on any of these shows at all this weekend?
No, I didn't. The one that I saw had Sam Donaldson on it, and he thought it was really high humor that Dean had, quote-unquote, given them the line, given them the headline, which, you know, is kind of, I'm just wondering if they're ever going to come back and recognize and mention the irony that Tom Ridge came out and raised the terror alert maybe 4 or 5 hours after all of these shows.
Right.
I
opened the show with this. I don't know if you caught it in the first hour.
No, I didn't.
You know,
I'm sorry.
You know, Howard Dean said, we're not safer as a result of capturing Saddam Hussein, and Tom Ridge agreed with him.
Well, has anybody? Yeah, but have any of these news programs actually said? I'm sorry to rehash an old idea. I missed the first part of the show. So,
it's quite all right.
But do you think these guys are going to pop up and say anything, or do you
not
think anybody would take the lead and say, "Wow, Howard Dean said this last week"? And
see, Howard Dean on the record in the last week or two, I forget which show it was or where it was, said he was being interviewed. Oh, it was Chris Matthews, Hardball. Chris Matthews was interviewing him, and he said, do you think we ought to break up the media monopolies? And Howard Dean said, yes.
Right.
He said, one of the first things I'd do is break up the media monopolies. And, you know, that's the kiss of death in terms of getting any kind of cooperation from the media monopolies.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, and so, you know, ever since that, you know, I heard him say that, and I thought, you know, I mean, he was our governor here for 10 years. I live here in the People's Republic of Vermont, and I'm broadcasting from here, although the studios for IE are in Detroit, but the show comes out of Vermont. And he is well known in Vermont for simply telling you what is on his mind. And he doesn't always say it in the most elegant fashion. But he's not one of these guys who sits around and figures out the exact right thing to say and runs it through five focus groups and has two consultants telling him and then reads it off a teleprompter. He just speaks off the top of his head, and sometimes it bites him in the butt. And I when he said that, I thought, geez, Howard, you know, I don't believe I would have said that. I mean, you know, I don't believe I would have said that out loud.
Do you think on the subject of his not having handlers, so to speak, Do you think that he really doesn't? Because that's the feeling that I get too, and I really, because he's kind of.
Oh, I can tell you that's really him. I mean, he was my governor for the six or seven years that I lived here. We moved here about 8 years ago. So.
Well, you know about our past governor, so and his handlers and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
So we're kind of used to getting fed the line constantly.
Yeah. No, I have to say I don't agree with Howard Dean on everything, certainly, but I think that number one, he's awakened in a lot of areas, and I don't think it's a result. I don't think he's pandering to the Democratic base. I think he's been in these debates with Kucinich and in particular, and he's learned things. And I know that from his stint here as governor, that when Howard Dean learns something, he changes his policies and he changes his mind, and he's not afraid to do it. He thinks it's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
And, you know, that's what they teach doctors to do. You know, it's like if the diagnosis isn't right, you figure out what else it is, you know.
Right.
So, at the risk of sounding like a booster for him, because I'm trying to be relatively neutral on this, but, I have a lot of respect for him.
Well, you had mentioned, and this will be my final question. I'm sorry to hold up all your time, but you had mentioned a few weeks ago that Howard Dean really had the best chance of coming in and doing the FDR big deal thing. Can you elaborate on that? And I'll take the answer off.
He's said that he wants to radically transform Medicare. Joe Trippi, his campaign manager, was on the show, and he said that, you know, basically Howard Dean is in favor of a single payer health care system, but he knows that, you know, at first pass that wouldn't pass, and so why put up something really huge, get it shot down and go nowhere like Bill and Hillary did? Instead, you know, let's take an incremental approach, which is how he did things here in Vermont, one step at a time. And now we've got a situation where all the kids in Vermont are covered, you know, have full health care. All adults at the poverty line and slightly above it, actually, in the state of Vermont have free health care. You know, it works. So, you know, step by step. And, you know, I think that he's been saying things that cause me to think that he actually could bring about a pretty dramatic transformation in America. And that's what's got the conservatives scared to death. Chris, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Scott in St. Louis is on the line. Hey, Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Great. What's up, Scott?
Hey, I just have a couple of quick questions about the China-Taiwan thing, and I can take my answers off the air.
Okay.
First off, is there something I'm missing, or is the U.S. position that Bush is taking, is that all based just solely on corporate interest? And if that's the case, then has there ever been another example in the entire history of the country where we have taken such a blatant stance for corporate interest over freedom and democracy?
Well, the answer to the second part of your, thank you, Scott. The answer to the second part of your question is, yeah, there have been a lot of them. I mean, you know, we took Hawaii, for example, because one of our big pineapple companies wanted us to. We moved into Central America at the behest of agricultural companies, you know, the whole Banana Republic thing. I mean, this is not something new. Siding with dictators or participating with countries because we have economic interests. We've been doing it with Saudi Arabia all along because they have oil. And the same thing with Nigeria. So, no, it's not anything new. And yes, it's deplorable. And that's why I think it's time for us, now that we've figured out, and I think it's taken a while for the United States to figure it out, but now that we've figured out that Kissinger was wrong back in 1976 when he said that dictatorship is something that we simply have to live with, that in fact democracy is something that's strong and viable, and that it's the natural state of people. That, you know, that by not participating with dictators any longer, we will be working to help bring about democracy in these countries. 1-800-TALK-YES. Mike in Orlando is on the line, Orlando, Florida. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, I wanted to talk to you and everybody about the archives real briefly, if you have time.
Sure. You mean the ones that outed Rumsfeld this weekend?
No, no, on your website.
Oh, Mike. Oh, this is Mike Todd. This is Mike, the guy who put up our archives on our website. Yeah, if you go to TomHartmann.com and you click on the Listen to Archives button, it'll take you to either WhiteRoseSociety.org, your choice, or to a huge collection of well over 100 hours of audio that Mike has put together. Mike, tell us about it.
Well, the good thing is there's already a few topics that people have been even asking about today. For example, the economy and how corporations are involved in it. Now, once you go to our archive, they are set up that way, and you've got it set on here pretty good where some other little topics overlap a bit, but you can research them on here, and you've got anywhere from 10 minutes to a half hour on some of the topics. And if you go to corporate economy, you can find out what influence the corporations have on the economy. People can go on the archive and download it. And I encourage them to download it, record it to CD, pass it out, listen to it on their leisure, and learn a little bit more, because I think your callers are very interested in learning. And mm-hmm. like you said, so they have the information to win their water cooler wars.
Yeah.
I've been doing this, recording them for about since April for Mike Malloy, and then I started doing it for you, and that's when I helped out with the archives. You had a great idea of putting it, make it available for everybody. Mm-hmm. I think this would be a great tool for people to use it, like to get feedback on it as well, if they can post a message on your website.
Yeah, and we have the message board as well, where people can actually post and they can interact with Mike. Mike, thank you very much for the call, and thanks for the archives. Thanks for putting those things together. It's a real gift to us and to all the listeners. And I hope that people will listen to them and will use them. You did a good job, Mike. Thank you. Gary in Santa Fe, hang on. I'll pick your call up on the other side of the break. This is Tom Hartmann. Stay tuned.
This holiday, don't just give a gift. Give the good life. And if you still haven't found the perfect gift, then come find it at Sears. Right now, get special savings on hundreds of gift ideas. All TVs, DVD players, and camcorders are on sale. And all fine jewelry is 40 to 60% off. Help him build the ultimate workshop with a great selection of craftsman tools on sale. And with all treadmills on sale, start the new year off right. So come into Sears today. It's never too late to give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Find us online at Sears.com. Sale dates 12/21 through 12/24.
Going home for the holidays. An hour to the airport, 3 hours at the gate, two on the runway, and five in the air. Your traveling companion? One achy back. Unless you wear a Thermacare heat wrap. Thermacare gives you powerful pain relief for your back, neck, or shoulder. It's 8 hours of deep down heat, so tight muscles relax, and pain goes away. Get Thermacare in the pain reliever aisle. Because after flying, you gotta start driving.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartmann. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartmann.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
going to do Rumsfeld now?
You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Winter Wonderland of the People's Republic of Vermont. This is Tom Hartman behind the good old working class stainless steel microphone. And Gary in Santa Fe, where I doubt you have snow, is on the line. Hey, Gary, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. Well, I'm happy to report, actually, it is snowing a little bit here, finally.
Really?
But it's not accumulating much. We don't get the real snows like you do up in Vermont.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to talk about real briefly was, you know, I would just love a really truly progressive agenda in this country, but I really wonder if the Bush administration has done such a good job of convincing people they need to be scared, and that the whole, you know, that everything has to be about defense and terrorism instead of about, you know, jobs for working class people and stuff. That maybe it's really tough to get that kind of a message out. So I was here listening to Wesley Clark over on NPR Talk of the Nation a second ago, and just like all the callers that called in sounded like, you know, they really saw Howard Dean as you know, way too far left for anybody, and that Wesley Clark was going to be strong on defense and everything, and that that's really what we needed in this country. And
yeah,
just
they bought the conservative propaganda.
Yeah, it really is. But I don't know. I really hope I'm wrong. It's just maybe that the country really is more progressive than the media would lead you to believe.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you define progressive. But, you know, when Bernie was on our show on Friday, he made the point, and he's spot on right. Bernie Sanders, that if you talk, if you do the polls and you talk to Americans, do the polls on health care, they are with us. On civil liberties and the Patriot Act, they are with us. On the war in Iraq, by and large, they're with us. You know, but on the issues that really matter, on a minimum wage, they're with us. On a livable wage, they're with us. On the ability to have unionization, they're with us. So, you know, I don't. America's not that far off. The problem is capturing the media and getting past the right-wing dominance of the courts and other systems. Thanks, for Gary, for the call. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont. Our music edited by Brad Walrod in New York City. And our program engineered in Detroit by Shar Jones and John Lucas. Thank you both. Thanks for joining us today, and tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone.